Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC. Darren, Donick, and Chase. And D-Mace here in the first segment. You're going to hear in a minute as he will take his victory lap. We're back at New Heights Brewing Company, 928. Rep John Lewis Way. We're looking forward to hanging out here again today. Second day of the NCAA tournament. We got lots of things to get into. Bert Bertelkamp will join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about the Vols' victory yesterday and their upcoming game tomorrow against Michigan. Greg Wyshynski at 11 o'clock, NHL trading deadline. Lots of hockey stuff to get into with him. You just made the list. We'll go to Vegas in the third hour as well. Talk about what the Raiders are doing. Holy moly, the stuff that's going on in NFL free agency and trades. So we'll get into all that. Raiders have been extremely active, just like the Jags. The AFC has been extremely active, other than the Titans. We're going to get into all that. And pick six in the final hour. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick has made his way back from Philadelphia. Predators lose a tough one last night to the Flyers. Claude Giroux's 1,000th game after clawing back into it after getting down a couple of goals. They took the lead. They had a goal even waved off, and it still wasn't good enough in the Flyers' victory.
Yeah, that was a bummer. It's the, you know, it's exactly what we set up, though. It's a team going nowhere, the Flyers, but because it was Claude Giroux, it was the best crowd they had had in weeks, months. And it was filled, a lot of emotion.
That was their season.
And you just sensed that it was not going to be easy. And the Predators helped them out. They didn't play very well the first period at all. Finally, by the time they got control of the game, they were still only up by one. And the Flyers made a couple plays late, a couple of breakdowns by the Predators. And that was not a good loss at all. But hopefully, as you have seen throughout the year, the Predators have been good at bouncing back and not lingering after a night that doesn't go their way. And it's too bad because Roman Josi had another monster game. What he's doing is it's mind-blowing. It's off the
chart. I don't know what you're talking about. He's fourth in the Norris voting.
I mean, give me a break.
You don't agree with that?
Fourth in the Norris voting? Has that been updated in the last 72 hours?
That was as of yesterday.
Good grief.
We might have to start pushing. Well, actually, we'll start with Wyshynski. We may need to start pushing that with the national media. We need to probably start pushing that every Thursday with Elliot Friedman because I feel like I'm not sure why we're having this discussion.
So who put that out there? Who put the Norris?
I saw that yesterday on social media. I don't remember. As we were talking about before the show, like the days are running together, yeah. The hours are running together, the minutes are running together, games are running together. So I don't know. That was yesterday.
How many more three-point games do you have to get?
I barely remember yesterday. So I don't know. I'm sure that's going to change. Remember some things from yesterday. I really do. Is Derek on the line, Elijah?
He is. I told him to limber up and to stretch so he doesn't pull anything while he's taking this victory lap.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he has been retired for a while. Derek Mason is indeed on the phone. So Willie's going to have to get caught up.
I need a briefing of what happened.
So the show yesterday started off with, you know, we were making selection. You know, we were talking about our brackets. Chris Dortch joined us from Blue Ribbon College Basketball, and he talked me into South Dakota State, and I'm still mad at him. He picked Davidson over Michigan State, so Derek doesn't ever want Chris on the show again. I don't want Chris on the show anymore because I changed my pick to South Dakota State. That didn't work over Providence. So it just got us into this big discussion, and Derek has been on this kick like I have about Tennessee, about Kentucky. About he just doesn't trust them. Remember, the minute I said I don't trust the Vols, I don't think they've lost. I think they're 16-2 in their last 18 games. So, Vols fans, before you get mad, you should be glad that I've done this. You should be thanking me and not getting mad. In fact, you should tell me to keep saying it because it's working. Nonetheless, ever since I made that statement after one of their clunkers, I was like, I just don't trust this team. They're too good. I don't trust them. They have a game like this in the tournament. They're done. And like I said, I don't think they've lost since. Well, Derek has been on this kick about not trusting Kentucky. Willie, he has said it on the show over and over and over again. He started that crap yesterday, and I said, you know what? All right, I'm just going to let you in on something. I picked Davidson too. So I'll tell you what I'll do. We're going to play Let's Make a Deal. Derek, behind this door over here, door number two, I will switch my bracket, and I will pick Michigan State. If you will switch your bracket and move Kentucky one more round, just one more round from where he had them, I'll change mine if you change yours. Derek thought about it for about 1.2 seconds and said, no, my firm answer is no, I'm out. And then he went into his diatribe again about how he doesn't trust Kentucky, and I then showed him, as Willie was telling me how disgusted he was with his bracket, and I haven't told him anything. We haven't talked about anything. I wanted to save it for on the air. And I was like, the only thing I said was, don't talk to me about your bracket. There you go, Willie. There's mine. How's that look? Yeah.
Well, yeah. How's that bracket look? Mine's almost as bad because I've made
two. It's in the trash can, and it's on fire, and the smoke alarm's going off.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm probably declaring myself out of the competition right now.
Oh, I'm officially out. I'm 100% out. I don't think in all these years, I've probably been filling out brackets for three decades. I don't think I've ever had one in the trash and literally on fire by 9 o'clock at night on Thursday. I'm pretty sure that's never happened. Well, but it did happen this year.
You're not alone in this. So y'all can all party together. You're not alone. Every Kentucky fan has thrown their bracket in the trash can. So this is not a one man party.
I don't think it's a party at all.
What do they call them? Rage, where everybody comes just party.
Yeah, laugh it up. There we go.
This is
therapy for Derek.
I want to know what Derek, what were you doing watching? When you watched the game, what was going through your
texting
mind?
I text
Darren and Elijah, and I prefaced
it's Isaiah,
my text,
by the way.
Isaiah, yes. Malachi. But I prefaced my text. I said, I'm not saying Kentucky's going to lose, but boy, oh boy, if they do, I am exactly right. This team, Oscar Tshiebwe played outstanding, had another double-double, over 30 points. I think he had close to 20 rebounds. He was basically unstoppable. But everyone else around him, they should have just left the building. They shot 26% from the three-point line.
I know at one point, I think it was 3 for 17, I think.
Well, the one kid that has been their most reliable shooter all year long went 1 for 9. And that's unlike him.
I said they don't have any knockdown shooters. Go ahead and dump it in to Shibue. And if he starts to get tired or get in foul trouble, they make it tough on him, which they did. Even though he scored a lot of points, he had to work for those points. And then the brilliance of St. Peter's coach to go into a zone. And this is why Coach Cal will never be considered one of the greatest. He didn't do anything. And I mean, he didn't change his game plan or anything. He stuck with what he was doing. They are not a knockdown shooting team. When it's not working in the inside, they don't know what to do. If they can't run on fast break and get points off the fast break, they don't know what to do. They are a very athletic team. They are a long team. But they cannot, and I mean cannot, play a half-court game with a team that can shoot from the outside. Because if you're not getting in the Shibue, those guys from the outside have not proven they can shoot. And it happened yesterday at the wrong time of the year. Tennessee had the blueprint. St. Peter's didn't have big men, but they went into that zone. And they made it a fronted Shibue, and they made it very difficult for them to dump the ball in the Shibue. And Coach Cal did not improvise. He just said, shoot from the outside. You don't have knockdown shooters, Coach Cal, but you steady had those guys shooting from the outside. He was basically out-coached. He was out-coached in the first round, and that team exited very early.
What a story.
If anybody want to push back on that, I mean, I don't know what you were seeing. They went 1 for 7 at the free throw line at overtime. 1 for 7. Again, you can't shoot free throws and you can't not get outside shots. You can't expect to go far in the tournament if you can't do that.
And how about this guy? Now, Kellen Grady is the one reliable guy they had all year long, 42%. He goes 1 for 7 from 3, 1 for 9 for the game overall. Yikes. So, meanwhile, you just have to love when the 15 seed wins. I mean, is there not a classic guy right out of the movies than Doug Edert?
He hit some big 3 points.
I mean, he hit some bombs. He's hitting them from NBA range, like fading. You know, it's not like he was wide open, had his feet set. Like, he's coming off a screen, going away from the basket and nailing them from way out there.
And they didn't make any adjustments. Cal didn't make any adjustments on defense either.
That's the part that baffled me. I think it's pretty clear that this, you know, this is how it works. This will change. This will change the narrative on Calipari, right? This will change feelings. I mean, this is how it works. I mean, we're experiencing it in this market, even though, you know, Mike Vrabel's only been doing it for 4 years, but when you lose a game like that, right, when you lose it home to Cincinnati, when you're the number one seed, this is the reaction you get all offseason. Well, when you lose a game like this, when it's 15 versus 2, and it's just going to change. This offseason will change. There will be Kentucky fans that will be pivoting off that Calipari train. There's no doubt about it. They are going to be now questioning everything he does. He is not going to get a parade or rose petals plopped down in front of him when he walks around Lexington. It's going to be a rough offseason. I don't have any doubt that there will be buzzards out. I'm not saying he's on a hot seat. I'm not saying he's going to get fired. I know that's not happening. I'm just saying the narrative will change with Kentucky fans. You can't have this happen. And they're going to be like, okay, cool. Well, let's run it back next year. That's not how it works.
But that's why I always come back to the same thing. Whether we're talking about the Titans or Kentucky or Tennessee or any team, when you lose a game like that, it happens to everybody. Nobody's immune. When 15 seed beats a 2, that rare time, it could be you. And you just go back through them one after, you know, last year it was Ohio State. I remember my coach, Eddie Fogler. They lost with South Carolina. They had an unbelievable year and lost the first round to Coppin State. So That's why we love the tournament. But you lose perspective when it's your team and you go insane, right? Because Kentucky fans are insane.
Save it, Derek, for the other side, all right? You're going to stay with us because we'll do another segment of this. What a night. By the way, the Murray State game
was what a win.
Incredible last night. Absolutely incredible. I was glued to that game. It was unbelievable against San Francisco, an overtime winner for the Racers. But we'll come back and continue the discussion. Burt Bordenkamp at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about Tennessee's game tomorrow against Michigan. You're listening to the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, we've been given some big-time information. Big time. We're at New Heights Brewing Company, 928 Rep John Lewis Way, right off 4th. The first 10 people to walk in here today and mention the game, mention 102.5 The Game. Judy, do they have to find you or just to somebody? Tell it to somebody, but find Judy. He's got a white polo game shirt on.
You'll find him.
Will give you. Now, just think about this. You get to come out here and hang and watch the games. By the way, find David, too, from Wager. You can probably get some free bets from him. He's in a good mood. So you can do that as well. Look, we're making this really easy for you. Free bets, a beer. You're going to have to pay for that. But Juni will give you a pair of tickets to Shine Down at Bridgestone Arena. Now, if you don't take him up on it, I have already requested that I have those tickets because I want to go.
So Darren's ready to bring a block of people down.
So I want you to come here, but, you know, I'm kind of secretly rooting against you, too. Not to, but no, you need to come here. The first 10 people to come in here, you'll get a pair. You have to order a beer, mention the game. He's got them in his hand. A pair of tickets to Shine Down at Bridgestone Arena. If you haven't seen them, I have. I saw them at the Ryman a couple years ago. They're fantastic. It's an unbelievable show. They're better than Kentucky basketball against St. Peter's.
They're not going to lose.
Okay, just to put it in perspective, they're better than Kentucky basketball against St. Peter's. They're way better. So just keep that
in mind.
They're still
in. 928. They're still playing.
They're playing the show in May.
Kentucky will not be playing.
Juni, May, right? Late May? Is that show? Yeah. He's running. We're making him work. I think it's late May at Bridgestone Arena. He's checking.
We're
this
get
is not great radio, but
May 4th.
May 4th, early May.
That would be early May.
May
the 4th be with you.
Oh, yeah. Like Willie perked up.
There you go. Yeah,
Star Wars nerd. Yes. Yep. May the 4th be with you. Wow. So there you go. Come to New Heights Brewing Company. Hang out with us. Order a beer. Mention the game. Get a pair of Shine Down tickets slapped in your hand. Go find David from Wager. He's hanging out here. And get some free bets. Okay? I can't sell it anymore. That's as good as it's going to get, folks. That's easy. Easy stuff. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason doing his victory lap. Hopefully, he's been stretching because he's been doing a lot of victory laps. He must be out of breath talking about picking Kentucky, saying he does not trust them. He went against them. I tried to convince him. Now I'm going to tell the story while you catch your breath that I was not even going to – I haven't even told Willie yet, but this is how bad it was. I'm working the Preds game. Things are going poorly. Late third period, I'm like, what's happening? Kentucky's losing all of a sudden in overtime. I'm like, what in the world? If I didn't love my televisions, I probably would have thrown something through them, but I'm not going to do that. You know I'm a TV snob. I come out. My 10-year-old son is supposed to have been in bed a long time ago. He's got a bracket, too. He is secretly watching the Kentucky game, rooting against me because he knows I'm dead if Kentucky loses. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he's just like looking at me. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm just watching the game, man. I know if Kentucky loses, you're out. I'm like, really? That's where we are?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that? Rooting against me because he just wants me out of the competition.
That's the competitive nature coming out of him, man.
I know. I can't be mad at that.
Little Maddox, he got it in him already.
All right, D-Mace, do your lap. Say whatever you need to do. The floor's yours. Hey, you've called in. You're not even working today, but we've got you working. So,
you know,
talk.
It was funny it was funny listening to, as we were coming out of break, and Jared was saying the same thing you were saying. I trust Kentucky. Okay, that's the promo. I trust Kentucky. I heard it from you. I trust Kentucky, and so much so that I had them winning the whole thing. And I just kept pleading with you and telling you, Garrett, listen, I know you bleed blue, you went there. But there's one thing, and I told you about this with Michigan State yesterday. I said, listen, I'm going to ride and die with my team, but I'm not going to be done with my team. I don't think my team's going to make it to the national championship. I think they will lose before then. You, on the other hand, you, those blue glasses, you were wearing them, and you were wearing them proud. This, I can see if Coach Cal had a freshman team. And then you could blame it on, hey, it was a bunch of freshmen, and they don't understand, you know, when they're playing the tournament, how much you got to amp your game up and everything else. The experience is not there, so we can give them a pass on that. But that's not the case. And I'm not giving Coach Cal a pass. This is probably one of his most senior basketball teams that he's had since he's been there. I'm not talking about seniors as in class. I'm just talking about playing-wise, guys that have been there, guys that have played at other places and have come to Kentucky. So he had no excuse. He couldn't blame it on the freshman. He had all his players healthy. And for him to go out and coach the way he did not make any changes. When St. Peter's went to that zone, he did not make any changes. When St. Peter's was doing that weave on the offensive side of the court and they were doing those picks, he did not make any changes with his defense. He did not cover their knockdown shooters from the outside. He did a horrible, and I mean a horrible job at coaching. He might have been the worst coach. He might have done the worst coaching job that I've seen from him in a very long time. And if anybody want to, you know, push me back on that one, go ahead, try it. But I expected Kentucky to get to at least the Sweet 16. And they couldn't even do that. Why? Because they have a coach that don't know how to make any adjustments. It's been proven. He couldn't get away with the athleticism and guys just being, you know, head and shoulders above all five of his guys. One guy was, and that was Shibway. He was head and shoulders. He was clearly the best player on the court. But everybody else? No. I would have taken some of St. Peter's players over the players that Kentucky had yesterday and the way they played. And I would take St. Peter's coach, the way he coached yesterday, over Coach Cal and the way he coached. Kentucky fans, push back on it if you want to. Take off your blue glasses because your coach did a horrible job with a team that should have went further.
You done?
Hey, that's it. That's all I got. That's all I got. I'm just waiting
that's
on the Spartans now.
Yep.
But, I mean, it was just inevitable. You know, down the stretch, Kentucky did not play the brand of basketball they played in the first half of the season. They just didn't. I don't know if they ran out of gas. I don't know if they were not focused. The coach was not focused. But they did not play the brand of basketball in the second half of the season that they played in the first half.
Will from Nashville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, he agrees with you vehemently. So I'm not going to read the whole text. He goes on and on. He's just basically agreeing with you. So you and Will are on the same page.
Well, I hate to say it, Darren, but I mean, I hate that your bracket is busted now.
Are you, though?
Your son does.
Do you mean it?
Your son doesn't. No,
no,
really.
He doesn't.
Not really. Yeah. I was just trying to be nice, you know. Now, see, even if Michigan State loses today, which I don't think they will, my bracket is still not busted. It may take a dent here and there, but it's not busted.
Well, if they do lose today to Davidson, I'll put on an extra knee sleeve and I'll do my victory lap on Monday. So, because I can't run. But I'll try. I'll double up the sleeves on the knee. Derek, good stuff. You earned this victory lap, or laps. I think it was plural. You did many.
Yeah, he lapped a couple times.
You earned it.
Yeah.
Well done. Good luck to Sparty today, and we'll talk on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely. All right, you guys have a good weekend.
D-Mace, Derek Mason. He said it yesterday. I tried to make a deal with him, and he refused, and he was right. He did the right thing. We'll come back and talk with Bert Bertelkamp. We'll talk about this Vols team that got it done, made it look pretty easy yesterday. Next up, Michigan tomorrow. But first, Willie, you've got a word about Loan Pronto.
All right, let's talk Loan Pronto. You know the two things that I keep telling you that Loan Pronto wants you to take advantage of: mortgage rates low and home values high in our listening area. Put those things together and you have the ability to get cash out of your home's equity. And Loan Pronto can do that for you, and they can do it fast. There's an all-new digital process that takes only about 2 weeks. Now, if you've refied before in the past, you know that the process used to be very laborious, if you will. Not anymore. Loan Pronto can convert that home equity into cash in as little as 2 weeks with no cost to you. They'll pay the closing costs plus zero hassle. So lots of people doing this go for the the home equity into cash with the zero cost cash out refi from Loan Pronto. So if you do this, you get a check for thousands of dollars, and then you can divvy it up how you want. You've got bills to pay. Maybe it's credit card bills. Maybe it's a car loan you want to pay off. You can do that. Plus, you can combine that, take another portion of that check, and upgrade and reinvest in your house with a bathroom or a kitchen or a patio, whatever it is that will add value to your home. You lock in a new APR in the twos, lower your monthly bills by hundreds of dollars. It's a good plan. So what are you waiting on? Call Loan Pronto right now and convert your home value into cash. Do it now, and you can even skip your next two house payments. Call 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. That's 499-5780. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval, not all loans apply.
You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Darren McFarland, and Willie Donick here live at New Heights Brewing Company. Come hang out with us just off 4th Avenue, 928. Rep John Lewis Way, to be exact. Come see Junie. Mention the game. He'll give you tickets to see Shinedown at Bridgestone Arena. Plus, you need to order a beer here as well. Tennessee, you heard the song. You know what that means. They're rolling along. Nice win yesterday over Longwood. Longwood's first appearance in the NCAA tournament. Tennessee gets it done. Michigan came back and won yesterday before the Tennessee game in Indianapolis. So it'll be Michigan and Tennessee tomorrow. And to help us with all this and more, he was on the call yesterday. He saw it courtside. And we're happy to talk with Bert Bertelkamp. Of course, part of Vols radio team, color commentator, been doing it for a long time, does a great job. Bert, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. It's look, this time of year, if you've got complaints, then you've got problems, right?
Oh, I agree. It couldn't be any fun. I'm sitting here waiting on the games to come on today. I'm going to watch them all day long. And upsets and excitement, if you're a college basketball fan, this is it for you.
I've been my wife is a UT grad, Bert, and I've been telling her, reminding her, while it made Vols fans mad several weeks ago on the show, it was one of the games that didn't go their way. They struggled offensively, and I said, I don't think I can trust this team. They're just too good, but I can't trust them. They're going to get in a tournament setting. They have one of these games. They're going to be one and done. I think, Bert, since I made that proclamation, I've told my wife and other Vols fans, you should be thanking me. I don't think Tennessee's lost since I said that on the show. So I think they're like 16-2 in their last 18. And so I've made a dumb comment, and I'm trying to take credit for the dumb comment.
Well, at least you recognize that. you know, after the Texas game, we really were struggling to score. Our offense kind of bogged down, and since then, we've really played well. We struggled a little bit at Arkansas as well. Those are the two losses you're talking about. But other than those games, we played great basketball, and the team's really come together. And I think the key is they're focused, and they're really good on defense. They hang their hat on defense. They've got a couple of players that really get after it night in and night out. And so if you play good defensively, you should be in most games. And then if we hit the three-pointer, we're hard to beat. We really are, and we've got depth, which I think is one thing we've lacked in the past going into these tournaments. Even when we had really good teams back with Grant Williams and Schofield and Bone and those guys, we just didn't have depth. And it's hard to win in tournament play if you don't have a bench, and we've got a good bench now. So, you know, you got to play every game, and you got to be good. But we've been focused, and these guys like each other, and they play hard, and it's been fun to watch.
You're right, the bench, Fulkerson and Bailey, but this guy is the guy I really want to talk about. And I've been saying this as well. When I watch him play, Ziegler is the guy. Rick Barnes needs to recruit more kids like that. I just love his makeup. We talk about on the show having dog in you. He's got dog in him, right? I mean, he gets after it. I love the way this kid plays.
Oh, he's courageous, no fear. And he's a great young man. You know, some recruits come in and they've been, you know, they've been praised since they were 10 years old, and they get in the AAU play and they've got these big egos and they're kind of got a feeling of entitlement. Not Ziegler. He comes in with a chip on his shoulder. He thinks he's as good as the next guy and he's willing to prove it. And he just does everything. He just knows how to play. Every now and then he'll get a little bit out of control, but not often. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's an all-round player. He can shoot. He makes free throws in the clutch. He's a great defender. But more importantly, he's tough, and mentally tough and physically tough. And if he's guarding you, you better strap it on, because you're gonna have your hands full. He really gets after it.
It's one thing for us to sit in here. We were here at New Heights Brewing Company yesterday, Bert. Great atmosphere. It's St. Patrick's Day. All these college basketball fans in here. Of course, Tennessee tipped late in our show, but you know, people in here watching and listening to the show, and it's festive and everybody's watching the games. Cool atmosphere. But you're there, you're courtside, it's back to feeling like the college basketball scene that we've all been accustomed to, you know, our entire lives. That hasn't been the case the last couple of years. Of course, we know the tournament didn't happen 2 years ago. Last year, limited attendance. So what did it feel like to have that real college? And I know you've gone through it all season, and the home crowds this year have been unbelievable. But now in this tournament setting, to have it feel normal again, how has that been? What was it like yesterday, Bert?
Well, it was electric. And we, you know, as you know, the tournament was played in Indianapolis. All the games were played up here last year. And we played in the arena, the Gainbridge Arena last year, and they had us sitting way up off the court with masks on and no, you know, very few fans. Well, no fans, really, just NCAA people running around. And we played poorly, and it was a downer, you know. And ever since then, you know, you really come to appreciate what a great event the NCAA is. And last night, it was a full house, and the atmosphere, it's a great arena. Indianapolis is a great sports town, and it was just a great atmosphere. And, of course, a lot of Kentucky people, they won't be there tomorrow, obviously. But we had a lot of Tennessee, a lot of Orange in the arena, and everybody was excited and fired up. And then you go down the hotel, there's balloons and there's all kinds of people, and it's like a big party, and it's a blast. It's just a great time of year and a lot of fun.
I would imagine some Vol fans could get some discount tickets from the upset Kentucky fans trying to pawn off the tickets they won't be using here, so some good deals might
that's
be available
one,
for that Michigan game.
I've had a hard time figuring out that, you know, each team gets an allotment, but their allotment seems to be bigger. There's always more blue.
Oh boy, they've got it down to
a
science.
They work that out, but they're great.
They have
fans,
got that to
really
a science.
Team.
Bert Bertelkamp is with us for the Vol Network. So the Tennessee Vols win easily yesterday. If you didn't see it, 14-for-24 from 3-point range. They just carved up Longwood. So, Bert, what's the key matchup? You have to look at Hunter Dickinson, of course. 7'1", he played a really good game in their first round. Tell me how you think the Vols match up with him, what they try to do to slow him down.
Well, one thing, I mentioned the depth earlier, and we've got four big guys. And, of course, Fulkerson and Huntley Hatfield and Adu and Uroš Popsic. And so we've got 20 fouls we can give on Dickinson, and we can really get after him and give him different looks. Typically, we don't double team, but they probably will double team him. When he gets it deep in the post, that's the key to keeping from getting it deep in the post. And when he gets it down low, he's so big, and he's really talented and skilled around the basket. So I think the first thing is try to keep it away from him, and that means putting a lot of pressure on their guards and not getting in the passing lanes. And we're pretty good at that. And Josiah Jordan James is also a key. He really helps out. He plays defense almost like a middle linebacker or a free safety. I mean, he has his responsibility, but he's helping out everybody else. And he comes from the weak side and gets blocks. And so he's a key to our defense. But I think the main thing is just keep it away from Dickinson, because if you do that, you got a big chance of winning the game. He's their main guy.
What do you think the big breakthrough was with Josiah Jordan James? He's just gotten so much better. Every week it seems like he gets another step forward. And now, boy, he looks confident every time he touches the ball.
He looks like a pro now. He's playing like a pro. You know, he's so big and athletic. And I think the fact that he's taken the role of being a team leader. He's not a real assertive person in his first couple of years, and he would turn down shots and he wouldn't drive the ball to the basket. And you see him in practice, and you see him in the game offensively, and you think, well, what's wrong with him? Why isn't he more aggressive in the games? But now he is playing that way, and he gets the ball and he can get a shot off anytime he wants. But he's unselfish, and I think the key is he's taking on the role of being a leader, and he's a vocal leader. And Coach Barnes has talked about several times throughout the year in our post game interviews and things that Josiah during the timeout, he would just take over the timeout and just lead everybody. And so I think Coach Barnes really appreciates that. He likes to have players that do that, and he stepped up into that role, and now he's really comfortable taking shots. He doesn't mind shooting threes, and that was the thing. He's always been a great defender, and he's an excellent rebounder for his size. But now that he's assertive on offense, he's a great all-around player. And if you had to pick an MVP, which it certainly isn't my role to do that, but it'd be hard not to vote for him because he does so many things well for Tennessee. And the other thing he does is he's so versatile, he allows Coach Barnes to have flexibility. He can go small. He can play him at any position on the floor. He can guard 1 through 5. Offensively, he can play 2 or 3 different positions, so he can use different combinations depending on the matchup. And Josiah just brings a lot to the game.
If Vescovy plays like he did yesterday,
oh man,
moving forward, yeah, they're going to be a real hard out. but that'll be hard to duplicate that.
When we hit double-figure three-pointers, I won't say we're unbeatable, but we're very hard to beat because we get the floor spread, and then you got Chandler and Ziegler and the quickness that they've got to penetrate, and then you've got Fulkerson and Josiah playing, able to penetrate. And when you spread that floor with those three-pointers, it really helps your offense.
Bert, enjoy your time in Indianapolis. Best of luck tomorrow against Michigan. We appreciate you joining us. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Bert Bertelkamp does a tremendous job on Vols Radio, and it will be Tennessee and Michigan tomorrow. And that was actually one matchup I got right in my brackets. I did have Tennessee versus Michigan, and we'll see if the Vols can punch their ticket into the Sweet 16 tomorrow against them. We'll come back and continue the discussion and wrap up the first hour next. Don't forget, we're the official NASCAR home. Vroom, vroom. The race on Sunday, 1 o'clock. Down in Atlanta Motor Speedway, also Chasing Checkers, Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here at New Heights Brewing Company. We're having fun here on this Friday. Be cognizant of the weather. We may get some storms this afternoon. May get some dicey weather. It is spring, so we are accustomed to this. I could not after the Predators game. By the way, we're going to talk with Greg Wyshynski at 11 o'clock. There is news on the Predators front, a little bit of news. I mean, a little bit. We'll get into all that with Greg Wyshynski. Trading deadline, lots to talk about with him to begin the second hour. But last night, I could not turn off the Murray State-San Francisco game. That was a fun game to watch. Fun game. Overtime. Man, they were battling through. What was that kid, Boye? Man, he was unconscious.
He had, what, 36?
36 and was kind of quiet in overtime. He could have had 40 easily. And what was it? I felt bad for the kid for Murray. Was it Hill? He
Justice
was battling
Hill.
Cramps. Oh, I mean, I think it started in his calves. It worked its way up to his quads. Like every time out, they're just over there working on him because he's gutting it out. There were so many fouls called. Guys were fouling out. By the way, the officials, like, let him play a little bit, man. Come on. Some of those fouls were really ticky-tack, really ticky-tack. But they're just working on him just to, you know, keep him in the game. They're just doing whatever they can. And then when he would come out there until they would inbounds the play, he's like squatting down trying to, you know, work through the cramps. It was a gutsy performance by Murray State, but the Racers punched their ticket into the second round. And tell you what, they're no strangers to the second round. When Murray State gets in the tournament, you better pick them to win the first game.
They have done a great job there. And what did we say about teams that win over 30 games?
Five out of the last six times they've been in the tournament, they've made it to the second round.
Teams that win over 30 games tend to do well. And now they will be a pretty sizable favorite against St. Peter's, even though St. Peter's played a great game to beat Kentucky. I think two, people probably didn't realize how good San Francisco was. In the KenPom ratings, and this is a lot of people looked at this with Kentucky's draw. On the surface, you were like, Kentucky has a really good draw. Obviously, you and I bit hook, line, and sinker on that. But Kentucky was not going to have any picnic against either Murray State or San Francisco. The KenPom ratings, they're both in the 20s. So even though they appear to be mid-major on the surface, they play at a higher level than that. So that was a great first-round game. A great first-round game. So Murray State, certainly, even though the question was, had they played enough tough competition to be able to do well in this tournament, the answer is yes. And now I shouldn't say I'd be surprised. Don't you think that I feel pretty good about them beating St. Peter's?
I do too. But,
that could be a really fun game to watch there.
Look, when confidence is a crazy thing, right? You come up with a win like that, you're like, well, can you duplicate it? If you're St. Peter's? I don't know. We're about to find out. But we've seen teams do it before where you're like, okay, they got their one crazy win. They're not going to be able to keep this thing rolling. And they don't.
But Murray State or St. Peter's will be in the Sweet 16.
Right. That's exactly right. I'm just not willing to say this is, because it's St. Peter's, Murray's going to the Sweet 16, because, like I said, confidence is a crazy thing. You get confidence, man, you can do a lot of good with confidence. And I have to believe St. Peter's confidence is through the roof. Now, how do they channel that into another victory? That'll be the question. Today, by the way, the madness begins in about 20 minutes. Loyola, Chicago, and Ohio State will get things going.
Now that's going to be a very good game, too. A very good game.
A very good game.
Line,
the line is like
even,
yeah. I was just saying, it's a pick 'em.
Yep. At Loyola, Chicago, you know them. They've become a familiar face in this
Sister
tournament.
Jean, 102 years old.
Will she be courtside?
Of course.
Of course.
Of course she will. Are you kidding?
Why am I even asking?
Yeah, silly question. Silly question. Jacksonville State, Auburn in about a little bit less than an hour in Greenville, South Carolina. So those are some of the early games.
Jacksonville State did not win the conference tournament. They won the regular season in the A-Sun and then got the bid because Bellarmine is still ineligible to compete in the tournament, even though they let him play in the conference tournament, which makes no sense to me. Yeah, we'll just let him play in the conference tournament, sure. But if you win, you can't go. Oh,
what's the worst
thing?
Somebody
just thinking, well, they're never going to win. Or so, I don't know what they were thinking when they made that decision. But why would you allow a team in your conference tournament that can't win the automatic bid? Makes no sense.
No, it doesn't.
Auburn is a 14.5-point favorite against Jacksonville State.
That line's gone down then, because I got it at 15.5 about an hour ago.
Yeah, it is going down. That is true. I think Auburn rolls them. Although I thought Auburn was going to be Texas A&M, and they looked pathetic.
Well, Texas A&M had something to do with that. They were playing well. I still am a little stinging because I would have had the perfect picks had they gone in over Wyoming. So they got snubbed. So they've also announced, I don't know if you guys talked about this yesterday or when they announced this exactly, but Vanderbilt gets to host Dayton, yep, the number one seed in the NIT, and it'll be
so
Sunday afternoon.
Why did that change?
I don't know. Dayton is the higher seed.
Right, and they're not, obviously they're done in Dayton, so why aren't they hosting?
I don't know. I do not know all the details.
When I saw that, I was like, I'm surprised by that.
But a big opportunity for Vanderbilt to play at home against a team that was, according to the committee, the first team left out of the field. So a team that's right on the edge of an NCAA tournament bid. They play Vanderbilt Sunday afternoon. I think it's a 2 o'clock start at Memorial Gym. So it'll be the same kind of dynamic as it was earlier this week. Vanderbilt played Michigan in baseball the same time that they played Belmont in the NIT. Vanderbilt is hosting Missouri in the SEC opening weekend. And next door, it'll be Vanderbilt taking on Dayton. It's a sportapalooza on campus.
Indeed,
and the
it is.
And the women won their first NIT.
Beat Murray
game.
State.
Yeah.
Beat Murray State. All right, we'll come back. We'll start the second hour with Greg Wyshynski. We'll shift gears as some Ohio State fans are walking in. Purdue fan walking in.
Let's go.
Everybody's getting ready for a second day action NCAA tournament, but we'll talk a little pucks with Greg Wyshynski. We'll do that next.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.